Hello again, everybody. This is Lance Russell with Championship Wrestling with another big week. Join us right now.
Hey, welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mulliken.
And I'm Mark Whitman.
And we're plugging along toward episode 200. Let me get on here and see what episode we're on. If you listened to us last week, we talked about Joey Ryan and Mick Foley.
Which would be episode 194, so this would be 195.
Yes, episode 195.
What should we do for episode 200?
Would love your thoughts, fans.
What would be a good 200th episode?
What did we do for the 100? I think 100th episode, we just kind of caught up.
Yeah, I think so.
But I think for 200, we got to do something specific.
I do too. I think it needs to be something cool.
Yeah.
So tell us what you think.
Yeah, tell us
Send us all your ideas. Hashtag it what?
Hashtag 200. Mention us in a tweet and do the hashtag 200.
Right, or send it to us on in the Facebook group.
And
or
what we'll do is, like so many other great creative peoples, we'll take all your great ideas and not use them.
We'll not use any of them, and we'll do something less that'll be subpar and leave people going, "What did I just see?"
Yeah,
what did I just hear?
Yeah. With children laughing. So. Today we're going to talk about some of our favorite finishers. 194 episodes in,
we finally get the finishers.
We have not talked about this. Now I made a list of five. Mark has
the list because I didn't know we were going to talk about this till lunch. I know you sent me an email. Don't get into that.
Hey, it's his birthday. We'll give him a little. Listen,
let me ask you a question. How many hours did you work last week?
Last week?
Full hours when you didn't have time to stop.
Oh, well, I mean.
Not even one.
I mean, my hours are kind of broken up and. But I mean.
Hours are kind of broken up.
Well, what I'm saying is.
I know you do things. It's just a joke.
I pay
but
you.
However.
Mark is legit.
I legitimately worked 100 hours last week.
Yeah.
So, sorry I didn't get to pour over your email.
This is when. These are the times when Mark's experience and all the wrestling he's watched comes in handy because he's got a database in his brain, and now that if you listen to the last episode, he's given up a lot of his vices, and more of his database is coming back to the forefront of his mind. So this is this is a win-win from everybody.
Uncharted territory.
Yes. We're 194 episodes in.
And all of a sudden.
Mark's never been 100%.
All of a sudden, I'm getting serious about this thing.
Oh, goodness gracious.
I haven't coughed through the entire episode.
Yeah.
My voice is not all scraggly.
How's it going? I'm Mark Whitman. Hello. We haven't taken. Like between every episode, you're not.
Right. We would always go take I would take a smoke break. Smoke two or three cigarettes.
Well, let's be honest. You know, if you've added a month to your life.
That'll get us about another episode every.
If you've added a month to your life, at least a day or two to mine, secondhand smoke.
That's true. What I was saying was. If I've saved 10 days by not smoking cigarettes over the past 4 months, which is what this smoke-free app tells me, I would have spent 10 days outside smoking cigarettes. If you extrapolate that out, you got to figure that gets us at least one or two extra episodes of the Double Dropkick Show a year.
Yeah. So now at the end, and that's just going to keep growing.
And those will be there forever.
Yes. Yeah, that's the thing is... We try to talk about subjects that are going to have staying power. That's why even this summer, as we have not been putting out weekly episodes, our downloads have grown. We crossed 50 than 51,000 downloads. So thank you, because we did that intentionally. We put our episodes out there and we talked about things that you could listen anytime, anywhere. This, like, well, it's August. I don't want to talk about the January 2016 review of Monday Night Raw.
Right. But you can go back and listen to the first episode of this show.
Yeah.
It's fairly timely.
Yeah. It's timeless.
Or timeless.
Timely and timeless. So today we're going to be talking about just some of our favorite finishers. Like I said, I have five. And the first one I want to throw out is probably on everybody's favorite finishers list. Maybe the greatest finisher of all time. I'll debate that. And that's the DDT, the Devastation Destruction Tool.
Is that what that stands for?
That's what the wrestling magazine said, that Jake Roberts said it stood for.
Well, they lie. DDT was like a compound.
Yes, I know that.
That they used to kill, and it was killing all these birds and stuff.
I'm just telling you what the wrestling magazine said.
You know the story of how he invented the DDT was
he had
a guy in a front face lock, and he stumbled and fell, and everybody went, oh!
Yeah.
And he thought, hey, that's cool, I'll do that.
And Jake, like, there's Jake Roberts' DDT and everybody else.
I agree. There's a fluidity to the way he does it. There's a snap to the way he does it. I thought Raven did a good DDT. But nobody could do it. Arn Anderson had a good DDT. Nobody does it like Jake, though. Nobody else really. And now it's just a useless two count. But
I would love to ask Jake, did anyone ever kick out of the DDT?
Huh.
Because now, like you said, everybody kicks out of the DDT.
Right.
John Schuyler, that's the finish he uses in APW. And the fans were anticipating it. And looking for it, and you know that was his finisher there, but it's been so watered down. As most of these moves we're going to talk about, with the exception of there's one move on here, two moves on here that are tag team moves that I've only seen the teams that invented them are the only ones that have used them. Are you looking at my notes?
I'm just trying. I know I see one of them. Is one of them the 3D?
No.
Because I think that's a great tag team finish.
Okay.
That's a phenomenal, phenomenal tag team finish.
Yeah, because it takes – everybody loves the RKO Diamond Cutter.
Uh-huh.
Everybody. That's a great move. And you add
– you add the flapjack to it. That's great, man.
I
thought I saw it on there. But when you said two tag team moves, like, I would have thought 3D would have been –
that's a great move.
It is a great – the timing that it takes to get it right.
Yeah.
You know, and no I've one, never seen him miss it.
No. And no, most of the – I don't know, did anybody ever kick out of it?
Oh, yeah, it's been kicked out of. But usually when you hit it, when they hit it, it was over.
Yeah.
And then they on my list until you said that. It just popped into my head.
And that's a move they can do. And it worked into their gimmick of the tables.
To me, that's – to. What makes a good finish is that you can do it to anybody.
Right. Yeah. Right. Big or small, yeah.
It doesn't matter. If you can do it to Big Show, you can do it to Great Khali, or you can do it to whoever you can do it to the Miz. Yeah.
I don't think anybody's getting their finisher on the Miz these days.
No. Why is that?
I don't know. I just wanted to get under your dander with the Miz talk. So DDT and 3D, yeah.
Well, I don't know that 3D was on my list, but I have to think about it.
No, that's a good.
I think it's a good finish.
All right, so I've said you said one. I'll move on with my the Randy Savage elbow.
Yeah.
And I call it the Randy Savage elbow because it was, for him, it was a finisher.
Yes. Much like the DDT, nobody else ever did a elbow. Many like. CM Punk tried, Bayley tries, Shawn Michaels tried.
Right.
Nobody's as good as Savage.
Right. CM Punk, it wasn't a finish for him. Wasn't a finish for Michaels. It was a setup move for the Sweet Chin Music. Bayley, I believe it was this year's WrestleMania. She won the match with the flying elbow, and that came out of nowhere, totally unexpected. But other than that, nobody's used it as a finisher. And Randy Savage, the quickness he used to get up to the top, the point, the balance he had, mm-hmm. when he did it, it was a thing of beauty.
Yeah, the way he would point in the air, and then sometimes he would like put his hand on his hip and point down at his opponent kind of thing. And then, yeah, the way he would jump and cock his elbow when he'd hit it, you know, when he'd hit his arm to cock the elbow up. Yeah, it was beautiful. Beautiful finish.
Everybody else, it just pales.
Yeah.
Pales in comparison.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that one either.
Randy Savage, man. Could you – I don't know that he gets the credit he's due. Maybe not. I don't know. I mean, he's he's one of those guys where everybody says he's great, and I'm like, I think he's even better than that.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I do too. I think that's just a WWF thing. If they treated him as though he were
– Right.
They don't. There's whatever those issues are between
right.
that took place, and I don't – you know, I'm not going to get into
issues that we worked out in our tournament.
Right. I don't want to get sued over, so I'm not going
to – Yeah, we want a job someday.
Right.
You know. All right. I'll go to Mark. As he's taking a swig of water for the working man.
My wife has got this finisher that she does.
Really? Okay.
It comes with a twist and a shrink right on the hand. But I guess that's not what you're talking about.
No. We're looking for matches that last longer than a minute.
Okay.
I'm not looking for a squash match.
That's pretty good. You got me.
I don't know what to do. We reverse roles here for a moment.
Good. I was not.
You set me up.
You got me.
This is why people listen to our show.
That was great, man. That was so good. Oh, man. You got me. I can't even say nothing to that, man. I'm speechless.
Speaking of why people listen to this show, that's my next move. It's a double drop kick.
Yeah.
The only team that ever used it as a finisher was the Rock and Roll Express. They, you know, always they didn't win all their matches with that. But I never saw anybody kick out of the double drop kick.
If they hit it, it was over. And that, to me, those are a couple of things that make finishes good. No, you can hit it with somebody. Number two, like it's a real protected finish. Like in ECW, they really protected Taz's, that Taz Mission, Kata Hajime. Like once he hooked it in, that was it. Like nobody didn't pass out or tap out when he used that hole. That's how you protect a finish, man.
Right.
Brock Lesnar hits an F5, it's over.
Yeah. Right. That was the thing. People, when he beat Samoa Joe, people were like, oh man, that came out of nowhere. I'm like, that's why it's called a finisher.
Right. It should have come out of nowhere.
Right. And it should be over.
And that's how you protect one. So, yeah, those are good moves, man. That's a good move, too, the double drop kick.
Why do you think that other teams. I mean, other teams, when they have done the double drop kick in a match, it's been as a tribute. But do you think other teams, and maybe it's different. Let me get your opinion on this. Maybe it's different in tag team wrestling than singles wrestling. Because as we mentioned, the DDT, other people have used the DDT.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else has used the 3D. Nobody else has used the double drop kick.
Mm-hmm.
So our tag team doomsday device.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody
uses it.
Are tag team finishers more protected than
– You know, they could be because you're right. I never thought about it. But you don't see the Usos and the Revival use the devastation device, that electric chair that the Road Warriors do. You never see them use that as a two count.
Right.
Never.
Right. Right, right.
Was it Demolition when they did the – he'd lay him across his knee and the other one would come off with the elbow?
That was a great move. That should have been on my list.
Yeah. I don't know what they called it, the Demolisher or something like that. I don't remember what they called it.
I don't know either.
But, like, yeah, you just don't see tag teams using those moves as two counts.
Yeah.
I never thought about it until just now. I mean, I'd like to kind of research that a little bit.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah. You're right. No, nobody ever does a 3D but the Dudleys.
Right. People do the Revival do the Shatter Machine, which is kind of similar, where you catch the guy, but you're bringing him into kind of a code breaker, whatever.
Yeah, that's not the same move.
Right. Yeah, I mean, maybe it's because...
And it's that's their finish. What I'm saying is you don't see anybody using those other moves as two counts.
No, yeah.
Whereas you see a DDT in every match.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes guys hit a DDT and don't even go for a pin.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's but you don't see that with those double team tag team moves.
Yeah, most of the time, like, when you saw the Midnight Express do the rocket launcher, that was it.
Yeah.
Like, they were either...
Speaking of, like, I'm going to just throw this one out there. Bobby Eaton's Alabama Jam leg drop.
Right.
One of the most beautiful off-the-top rope moves I've ever seen.
Yeah, beautiful.
The height that he gets on that.
Oh, my goodness.
How he sticks the landing perfect every time. It's one of the most beautiful top rope finishes I've ever seen. And it may be outside of Savage's elbow, the number two.
Off
the top rope finish. Now, there's the moonsault is pretty impressive. The first couple of times you see it, then it became a useless.
So this weekend, Scenic City Invitational, there was a wrestler there, never seen him work, named Joey Lynch. He has a beautiful moonsault.
Right.
Like you said, a lot of people do the moves. The height that he got on it, and he kind of similar build, a little bit smaller than Neville, but the same cut, cut the same. But the height that he got, and it's almost like this. Some of the off the top rope moves they do, there's so much involved, it's so fast, you don't can't even appreciate it. His moonsault, it's almost like he pauses in midair.
Huh.
And it was great.
Is that Muda's is just the opposite. His is so sharp and crisp, but it's so fast.
Yeah.
He hits it so fast.
Yeah.
Speaking of Muda, one of my real legitimate favorite finishers, the Shining Wizard.
Yes.
Love it. I love it. It looks devastating.
Yeah.
It looks like it would kill somebody.
Yeah. I need to go and see more of his Shining Wizard, because there's a lot of guys that try to do that today, and it's not the same.
It's not the same. They try to
Muda. He was so great, man.
Yes.
We just posted the entrance where the guy rubbed the genie's lamp. Mm-hmm. Somebody posted that in the group, and I remember you telling me about that. And that was just one of the best. Tajiri was amazing in that moment that he sold.
Yeah, had Tajiri not acted like it mattered, it wouldn't have mattered.
Right, right.
But he was like, oh. And then as I told Brandon Lewis, man, you got to read the follow-up to that.
Uh-huh.
To see the story.
Which is what? I know you've told me this before.
In the match, the female that's in there, she winds up on her back, and he sprays the green mist into her crotch, and it impregnates her. And she comes out with a full-grown baby. Not that night, but right. Like later on in the program with that guy. But it's a man that acts like a baby, and that's an insane like comedy promotion.
Yeah.
That's one of those over there like where they wrestle blow up dolls and stuff like that.
What was the match where Muda started the match as Kaiji Muto?
And he went backstage and then he come back as the great Muda. I can't remember. But I've seen the match, but I can't remember.
I need to go find that. Shining Wizard, yeah, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm. So is the Burning Hammer.
Okay.
Kenta Kobashi finish. That was one of those that he didn't use that often because, like, it was so. But, like, that's to me, you talking about building a finish up.
Yeah.
You build a finish up to the point where a guy doesn't even use it unless he has to.
Right.
Because it's so devastating that he might kill somebody if he does this move. And that's how he beats Misawa in that famous.
Yeah.
Like 2000, 2001, their last real match that went an hour that I've still to this day, probably the single greatest wrestling match I've ever seen.
Yeah.
You can have Omega and Okada.
Right.
That Misawa Kobashi match is probably the single greatest wrestling match I've ever seen. And that's how he finally beats Misawa, because he'd never been able to get that big win over Misawa.
Yeah.
And he broke out the Burning Hammer.
So, all right. I can see the start of the Burning Hammer.
Mm-hmm.
He's got him on his shoulders.
It's just one of those flipping things that they do. To me, it's not.
Is it like the FU for Cena?
It's kind of like that, yeah, but I think it's more of an over kind of flip. It's one, I can see it in my head. I don't describe things well.
Right.
Because it's not about.
Yeah.
How he does the move.
Right. I'm trying to picture it in my head.
What it's about is the fact that he does, it's so dangerous that he doesn't even use it all the time.
And in that match, anytime he even got in a position where the fans realized, oh my gosh.
You'd hear it.
And then he didn't get it, didn't get it. And that is all. If you're a wrestling fan and you've not seen that match,
yeah, you are.
Do yourself a favor. And that's the kind of matches we post in the patrons group.
Yes.
Patreon.com/DoubleDropKick, where for $1 a month, you get into our patrons only group. You can also do $5 a month, $10 a month. You do $10 a month, you're going to get an autographed picture from a wrestling legend. And a great group. It's a small, very small group, a very tight-knit, community. And, You guys drive the conversation. So thanks to all our patrons, and you can find out more, like I said, patreon.com/DoubleDropKick. So Burning Hammer, Shining Wizard. Let me throw this one out. I'm curious to get your thoughts on this one. This is the one on my list
that I probably saw.
You probably saw, and this is our favorites. We like what we like. I like the Meltzer driver,
mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you why. I like it because I've never seen anything like it.
Mm-hmm.
The combination of that, the tombstone pile driver with the athleticism to do the flip.
Mm-hmm.
I just never seen anything like that. And it's a finisher.
Mm-hmm.
Like nobody kicks out of that. And the fact, this is what they named it.
Right.
It's such a great work that's become this thing. And I don't know that it's a move. I've seen several of their matches that they didn't do it.
Right.
The best one I saw with one of your favorite wrestlers, Will Ospreay. It was a TV match. It was Young Bucks versus Marty Scurll and Will Ospreay. They're going for the Meltzer driver. So I get them confused. Nick goes up to do the flip. And as he does that, Ospreay times it perfectly, and Ospreay springboards off the other ropes. And at the same time, Nick is doing his flip into the Meltzer driver, Ospreay's giving him a Hurricane Rana. So he Hurricane Ranas him into the Meltzer driver.
Huh.
It was as far as like a whatever you want to call it.
A spot.
It was one of the most difficult spots I've ever seen that they nailed flawlessly.
Right.
And that was the end of the match.
Right.
But it was like, okay, he's going for his finisher. I'm going to stop him. And that, it was great. And so for me, that's just one of my favorite moves. And I like the Young Bucks because I've met them. They're nice.
Everybody, they were nice to you.
Yeah. They give, people give me grief about the Young Bucks all the time. Ain't a single person listening to this that wouldn't trade money with them right now.
It's true.
You know what I'm saying?
This is true.
And, yeah.
If you're in the business, you would trade spots with them right now.
Yeah. Period.
And if you say you wouldn't, you're a liar.
Right.
I, once again, would put the business down on its knees. Shoot it in the back of the head, execution style, and kill it to trade places with them.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially now, they have got to the point where when they're doing tours of Japan, it's insane. But they only work when they want to.
Yeah, I think these guys, we say this all the time. I think people equate being in WWE with being rich.
Yeah.
And it's just not the case. I mean, I think that, just do the math. A guy like Cody Rhodes,
mm-hmm.
he makes, working for WWE, let's say he makes 200 grand a year.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just,
right.
That's probably a fair figure.
Yeah.
200 grand a year. Now subtract a hotel room every night.
Yeah.
Subtract the vehicle and a wear and tear. Subtract the food that he's got to buy. Subtract all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then pay taxes on it.
Mm-hmm.
And how much of it do you think is left after you take his road expenses out of that? Because he's got to pay for all of that on his own.
Mm-hmm.
They don't pay for their hotel rooms.
And in WWE, what do you think the cut of merchandise is?
Oh, I bet it.
10%?
Okay. If you got merchandise.
Yeah. That you can't do on your own.
When we've gone to shows, you see merchandise for John Cena and Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins. Did you see any Cody Rhodes t-shirts at Survivor Series?
No.
Okay, so let's not even. So how much can he be making?
Right.
Now, the flip side to that, I don't know what he charges because I ain't tried to book him, but I bet you it's close to $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
And it's between 3 and 5.
Right.
You can probably guarantee, if not more.
Right.
In certain parts of the country. But for down here, let's just say.
We know for a fact Ryback was charging 5.
Okay. So.
I think that's what I heard.
So let's say $5,000 and he works Friday and Saturday night. $10,000 a week.
Yeah.
And I don't know if people realize this. When you book Cody Rhodes, Cody Rhodes don't pay for his own plane ticket.
Yeah.
You pay him $5,000. And you get him to the building, and you put him up in a hotel.
Yes.
And then he sets up a table where he sells T-shirts for $20 and autographs for $20.
Yeah.
So you tell me, you do the math and tell me if you think he made more money working in WWE or makes more money working on the independents. Because he's getting bookings every weekend. If he just works Friday and Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time there's going to be a Sunday in there.
Yeah.
And there might be a Thursday in there. I know some guys that work almost every day.
Let's say he just made $5,000 a weekend.
I'm saying, I promise you he makes $10,000 a weekend.
Yeah.
Let's say he charges $3,500 and he makes $7,000 on Friday and Saturday.
Yeah. That's pretty good living.
Do the math.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's give him $7,000.
$364,000.
You did that quick?
Can you double check me?
$364,000.
Thank you.
That's all profit because he didn't have to pay for a hotel. He didn't have to pay for a car. He didn't have to pay for a plane ticket.
Yeah.
You paid for all that.
Yeah.
You paid for all that to get him there.
Yeah.
And then let's say he makes another, let's just conservatively say he makes $75,000 a year selling T-shirts and pictures and autographs.
Yeah. And well, plus he's got a contract,
right? And that's not to count the money that he's making for Ring of Honor and New Japan.
Yes, yeah.
So you tell me that he ain't better off outside of WWE?
Yeah, he's world champion. He's the Ring of Honor world champion.
Mm-hmm.
Ring of Honor world champion.
So that's why these guys go make a name for themselves. That's why he knew he could leave WWE.
He bet on himself.
He did. And I don't think he is as great.
Correct.
As maybe some other people would have, or maybe even he thought he was going to be.
Right.
But that doesn't mean he ain't making money. It doesn't mean he's not good.
Yeah.
But he's not on the level of Okada and Kenny Omega, because I watched the match he had with Okada, and it was clear he was not as good as Okada.
But, he has proved. So, check, AJ Styles got himself over by going to Japan and having 5-star matches with everybody.
Right.
Cody Rhodes has proven you can get over without having 5-star match with everybody. You can get over without having a 4-star match with everybody. Because Cody Rhodes doesn't have to go have a cup of coffee with me to captivate me by what he's doing in the ring.
Right.
He captures my attention.
Speaking of, did you see the wine that he's working with some wine company? I'd like to get myself a bottle. They got the American Dream and the American Nightmare wine. And the American Nightmare's got some of his stuff, but the American Dream one, and this will tell you, it's black with yellow polka dots is the label. So as much as people can knock those polka dots and stuff, even his family realizes that's what people remember Dusty for, is those yellow polka dots.
Cody Rhodes, for when he was before he really got into Ring of Honor and New Japan, his first few indie dates, he was getting different tights and different boots for everything. So when I say that Cody Rhodes bet on himself, he invested time.
Yep.
He put money. It's possible, and I'm probably wrong on this. It's possible that for his PWG appearance, he spent more on his gear than he got paid.
Probably did. But he did that just for the fun of it.
He bet on himself.
Right.
Anyway, lots of respect for Cody Rhodes.
Yeah. I mean, I more power to him. What about the real Tombstone, though? You're talking about the Meltzer driver. I'm talking about the real Tombstone pile driver.
Yeah.
I mean, how great is that?
Yeah. The Tombstone, no matter who does it, anywhere, anytime, the Tombstone is a move that gets from everybody.
Right. The Stone Cold Stunner is a great finish.
Yeah.
I mean, it comes from out of nowhere. Everybody pops for it. Still, we should use that as a finish because everybody pops for it. Like the chop.
But if
chop somebody, you get a woo.
But if you're an independent wrestler and people know you more for you imitating Stone Cold and doing stunners, and they don't know your finisher, you're doing something wrong.
Right. I agree. But for a guy that is not a wrestler to use it as a finish, it's great. I mean, it gets a pop. Gets him over.
Yep. Yeah. I think you said that.
I did say that.
And it was great.
It was.
It was a great moment. A great pop.
I'm like Bobby Heenan. When you listen to me, you make money. When you don't listen to me, you don't make money.
Yeah.
I don't got no problem saying it.
When you listen to Mark, your career takes off.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't. Yeah, the Tombstone's a great finisher.
Uh-huh.
And when people kicked out of it, especially at WrestleMania, it was a big deal.
Mm-hmm. I can remember when Shawn Michaels kicked out of it, and the look on Undertaker's face, like even he couldn't believe that somebody kicked out.
Yeah.
That's a great finish, man. I tell you what else is a great finish, and really the whole package for the guy. And I don't like him. Mm-hmm. Never been a fan. But, man, that jackhammer and spear combo that Goldberg did. I mean, how can you argue with that being possibly the most devastating finish in wrestling, man?
Right.
That's just incredible. The packaging, the whole delivery of Goldberg, whether you like him or you don't like him, I get why he was a big star, man, because why wouldn't you want to pull for that guy?
Right.
First of all, he looks like he just rip chicken's heads off and drink the blood for breakfast.
Yeah.
He looks like that kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
And just, he looks like $1 million, dude.
Yeah,
even at 50, I wouldn't want to fight Bill Goldberg.
Yeah.
You know? He looks like he could beat somebody up. And that finishing move, and when he did it on the Big Show.
Phenomenal.
Even I popped. And I hated the guy at the time, and I popped when he put Big Show.
Because
he didn't just pick him up and fall. He picked him up and held him there for a second and took him straight down like he does everybody else. That dude is country strong, man.
Yes, he is.
Goldberg is a beast. I appreciate him a lot more now than I did then.
Right.
About, you know, why he was so over.
When he came back this time, I felt like he was being himself.
Yeah.
Whereas before, he was pretending to be something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it. You mean when he came to WWF? Or when he was in WCW?
I don't know, man. I just always felt like his promos were not from the heart.
Oh, no, they weren't. And I think there's probably because in the past, he was clearly, he didn't have a passion for wrestling.
No,
he
you're
was
right.
doing it for the money.
Yeah.
I think this time he came back with a real passion to do a good job.
Yeah.
Because I think he didn't like the way he went out.
Yeah.
So he came back and he went out in a way that he could be happy. That's yeah. what I think. And I'm happy for him.
Yeah.
I think he deserved that. You know, and I know we talk about the you deserve it. Very rarely does anybody deserve anything. I think Goldberg did deserve that opportunity to kind of close his career out because he's the one that kept WCW in business for a little while. He reignited a spark that was going out.
Right.
With that NWO thing.
Right.
And he bought them a few years, regardless of however they want to rewrite history. That is what happened.
We are going to, our next recording session, we're going to talk about what if Bret Hart had been the third man. I just want to go ahead and say, and I think you and I agree, it doesn't matter who the third man was. WCW is going out of business at the same time in the same way.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I don't know. I don't know. I'll give you my theory.
Okay, let me explain what I'm as far as being owned by Time Warner and being on Turner Television. That's
going to happen.
That was going to happen in 2001. However, I think I can make an argument. I'm going to make an argument now that you've said what you said and I've thought that, I'm going to go back into my notes. And I'm going to make an argument.
Don't make my argument. You don't know what my argument is.
I'm going to make my argument.
What do you think my argument's going to be?
I don't know what your argument. No. I'm
well, tell me what you're rethinking now. So at least give everybody a tease as your finish.
That may be Bret Hart. Because one of the things I'm going to talk about is the differences between Bret Hart and Hulk Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
And that maybe those differences, as far as the effect backstage, the effect on the bottom line, that maybe that would have had WCW in a better financial position to where even if Turner says we're selling them, they're still more financially viable
mm-hmm.
for somebody to take and keep them as a deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That. Well, man, if Turner doesn't take them on TV, we've got 10 stations lined up because they're so good.
Right.
Right. So, yeah, you guys, we're going to be recording that on August the 17th, maybe.
Maybe. I'll be here.
Wait, you know what? That's where – no. Wait, is that the day?
Is that the day you got the doctor's appointment?
Maybe I'm all confused, man. We can talk about that later. Wait a minute. What day? Oh, man. I got to look. What day? Oh, no. 31st is when I go to the doctor. So okay. We're good for the we're good for the 17th. So yeah. So, all right. Here's my last one. You mentioned this guy in the Undertaker, Superkick. Superkick's all. Now, for me, I'm going back to World Class Championship Wrestling, which has been they posted a lot more episodes on the network. Go back and watch the Chris Adams Superkick. Because here's the thing: I've got a picture, and it's in a magazine. Of the most devastating finishing maneuvers.
Uh-huh.
And I might put those pictures in the show notes of this. And you see Chris Adams, his head, he is literally, his head is almost touching the mat and his leg is straight up in the air. And it's not like just some random sidekick. He is doing an uppercut
right.
kick.
Mm-hmm.
So when I say super kick, that's what I mean. I'm not just talking about, oh, you're just going to kind of throw this weak sidekick and slap your leg. And I don't think Chris Adams ever slapped his leg a day in his life.
No, I don't think he. Neither did Shawn Michaels. I don't think Shawn Michaels is slapping his knee.
I think you'd be surprised.
Well, maybe he was, and but I don't remember that loud pop when he would.
When he started wearing the leather.
Yeah.
He started doing that a little bit more. But again, that's probably because everybody was slapping. Right. When he was started doing the super kick to begin with, it wasn't a leg slapping business.
Right, that's true.
But that's what I mean. I'm talking about the super kick when it was a finisher, not
super kick it, party.
Right. If it's not a
it's funny to me that you can so passionately defend the Meltzer driver, but now you're about to go into this thing about guys overusing the super kick.
No.
The same team.
But what I'm saying is if you're not using it as a finisher, it's not a super kick to me. So don't tell me it's just a kick. So to me, it's not the same thing. And that's my whole
point. They call it the super kick.
That's my whole thing.
They,
you look,
being the Young Bucks, call it a super kick party.
Because they're trying to make, because somebody made fun of them, and they said, turned it up to 11, and they made money. And they did that to sell T-shirts.
I agree. I'm just curious how you can so passionately defend one thing, but then crap on another.
Well, it's not just them. Everybody's doing a million super kicks. But excuse me.
Braun Strowman ain't doing no super kick.
What if he did?
Wouldn't that be great? Just bam. Just one
bam.
Just that huge guy doing a super kick would be awesome.
That would be phenomenal.
It'd be great.
See, bigger guys do the big boot.
Uh-huh.
And I would argue it's not a big boot if you don't pin a guy. I'm just kidding. You know who had a great big boot?
Hulk Hogan?
No. Wild Bill Irwin.
Yeah.
Because he did more of a
kick.
A kick. And he had great wrestling boots,
so did
too.
Masahiro Chono had a great, great mafia kick. He called it the Yakuza kick.
Okay.
It's the mafia kick. And, yeah.
Why do they call it the mafia?
I have no idea. I think because they called it the Yakuza kick in Japan.
Uh-huh.
So they started calling it the mafia kick over here.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
Great, 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 great boot, man, Masahiro.
I need to go back and Google Masahiro.
Do you know him? Do you know who I'm talking about?
I know the name, but I'm not familiar with his work.
Yeah, he was, and Barbarian and Ming both did.
Oh, yeah.
Both did the big, Ming did a nice thrust kick.
Yeah. Yeah, and Ming did a super kick.
Same difference, but he did it differently. He did it in a way where he threw it almost like a karate, extending karate kick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm a big Ming fan.
Yeah.
But the difference between me and everybody else is I was a big Ming fan back then.
You were a Ming fan when he was Haku.
Yeah, I always liked him. I just did. I always,
Dude, when he came out at that G1 special with his son, I can't remember if that was Friday night when I watched it live or Saturday. It was awesome, though.
I have met two Samoans in my life, and one of them was the Barbarian.
Yeah.
The other, let me tell you, they legitimately are some of the toughest men on the face of the planet. Me and that guy, he's as big as me.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just goofing around.
Yeah.
You know, not being serious at all, but I had heard how tough they were.
Yeah.
So we were just kind of goofing off. And he snatched me up and picked me up over his shoulders. Me. And I'm not talking about I didn't jump on his shoulder.
Yeah.
He snatched me up and put me on his shoulder, and I thought, I'll show you. And I went to snatch him up, and brother, he didn't budge. And he just stood there and looked at me.
And went, who was it?
I forget it. His name was Mike something. I can't remember his last name.
Great Samoan name.
Mike. Right. But, you know, not everybody's name is, you know, the Barbarian. So I don't know if you know this or not.
What kind of mother? I mean, she pretty much set him on his path for life.
But, yeah, I remember trying to pick that guy up, and, I mean, he wasn't moving. Yeah. I couldn't do anything with him. They legitimately are some of the toughest people on the face of the planet. Now, have I ever told you the story about my buddy going to Nitro?
No.
And seeing Ming and Barbarian pull up in a Lincoln Town car. And he was telling my other friend, he said, then Ming and the Barbarian, he pulled up in a Lincoln Town car. And my other friend said, what did you think he was going to do, ride in on a dinosaur? And that, my friend, is a finish.
Yes, sir. Hey, DoubleDropKick.com is where you can listen to all our episodes. We're on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. We're on the Google Play Store. We're everywhere. We're getting up there, man. We're coming up on episode 200, which we may even record here in a couple of weeks, and it's going to be great. You need to join our Facebook group. It's called The Wrestling You Grew Up With. The links to all this is going to be in the show notes. While you're looking at the show notes, let me just throw some stuff out there. Okay?
Get some water as you about to get going.
About a year ago, listened to Terry Funk's book, Autobiography, on Audible. Uh-huh. Right now, you go sign up, 30-day free trial. You can get Terry Funk's book for free, Dusty Rhodes' book for free. Link to that's in the show notes. Just to get a look.
That JYD book is on there.
JYD book, and that's a great one too. The JYD book.
It's more about Mid-South though, right?
It's more about Mid-South and his role in it. The JYD book is so good. Yeah, oh my goodness, it is so good. You just sign up for a free trial.
If I said, hey, do you want a free audiobook?
Yeah. Who wouldn't?
Would you say no or would you say yeah?
No. I mean, so.
You'd be a fool to say no.
Yes.
A free book.
Right. So
Have to read it. Somebody else will read it for you.
You can also get a free month Dollar Shave Club. I think it's a free month. I don't know what the offer is, but it's in the show notes. You click, we'll get a little kickback. Listen, I use Dollar Shave Club. Even when I'm rolling with a full beard, you know, you still got to trim stuff and everything. Keep everything nice and tight.
Like I do.
Like you do. That's right. And Dollar Shave Club means I don't have to. There's been a lot of Sunday mornings because a lot of times I'll shave Sunday morning. And before Dollar Shave Club, I'd get up Sunday morning and no razors.
Right.
Where are you going to go?
And then you got to go to the grocery store, and you got to ask that pimply-faced kid that doesn't care about anything to go get you the razors, and then he's got to find the key,
right.
And they unlock it, and then they got to walk with you to the register like you got the nuclear codes or something.
So, hey, so here's an added bonus of Dollar Shave Club, okay? It's so affordable. I got four women living in my house.
Mm-hmm.
They all use my Dollar Shave Club. I bought them all the executive razor handle, and then I order blades, and we divvy them out.
Huh.
Because let me tell you, there ain't nothing like going to get your – I use a clean blade every time. That's just who I am. I've reached that status in life.
I tell you.
I'm going to use a clean blade every time.
Make money mulligans across the table from me.
I'm so cheap,
I don't even shave.
But – ain't nothing like taking your razor and not realizing your wife or somebody's used it to shave their legs and you start on your face. That's a bad day at the office right there. So anyway, Dollar Shave Club. I think there's a link to High Spots. Man, they just released the Bruiser Brody about a month ago, late July. The Bruiser Brody documentary. Absolutely, you need to download. I downloaded it. I'm getting ready to order the 3-disc. It's phenomenal.
I got to get that DVD.
It's phenomenal. So all that, we just appreciate all your support. We're over 51,000 downloads, which is, you know,
if we're
just a mom and pop podcast.
I always thought we would get like 50 downloads.
Yeah.
And here we are sitting on 51,000.
So we, you know,
it's pretty awesome.
We appreciate all your support. 51,000 downloads in the last 12 months have by far been our best. Most of those are in the last 12 months.
Right.
So thanks for everybody for your support. And you know,
episode 200 coming up. Tell us what you want us to talk about.
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe we just answer your questions.
Tell us on Twitter at Heath Mulliken.
At the DDK Show.
We haven't done that in a long time where it's the Q&A fan, you know.
I do it in the patrons group.
Yeah.
I haven't. Over the past month or two, because I just have not been able to. But that will be starting back up this Friday. Just me, no Heath. And specifically,
you say that like it's a good thing.
The people tell me that it is. So we'll be discuss specifically the history of wrestling.
Yeah.
I rarely discuss anything new unless somebody just really wants to know. It's all about like the history. And
specifically what people ask about.
Right, right. They ask me, you know, what they want, if they have questions about stuff, and I'll try to answer the best I can, or find out for them.
Yeah,
an answer. I did it the other day for Albert and Brandon, just on one of their posts, and they were talking about something, and they were like, "Hey, I'm not sure. Maybe Mark knows."
And he does.
And I do.
Yeah. Not only does the Shadow know, Mark
knows. That's right.
So hit us up on – wait,
we already did that. At the DDK Show and at Heath Mulligan.
So thanks for listening to our finishers. We'd love your comments on this. What are some of your favorite finishers? But as always, for the Double Dropkick Show, I'm Heath Mulligan.
And I'm Mark Whitman.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.